Thank you, Fee. Slowly but surely, we are making our way through this long book of Haggai. So, another four verses today. It'll actually be good for you to keep your Bibles open as you'll be looking at certain things that God tells us in these four verses. Have you ever felt that feeling of anticipation? Something is going to happen. The longer I stay quiet, the more you'll get that feeling of something is going to happen. This is what's happening here as well. We find ourselves in the book of Haggai. So Haggai brought this message to God's people, and something great is about to happen. And that amazing thing is that the people of God is going to repent and change and start to obey the Lord. And why am I saying this is such a great thing? Because Christ Himself says this in Luke 15. He says, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." When God's people turned their lives around, there was rejoicing in heaven. It's a great thing when we turn our lives around, when we start to do what God wants us to do. And this is what is happening here in Haggai as well. So let me remind you briefly, for those who weren't here as well, I'm doing this less and less. I think I started in 5 minutes doing the history, then 2 minutes, so just 1 minute. The people of God have been taken in exile, and they've after 7 years in exile, they've come back to Jerusalem. They started rebuilding the temple as soon as they got there, 50,000 of them, which is only a small number anyway for a whole nation. Got back, started repairing the altar, did sacrifices, started working on the temple, continued for 2 years, and then dropped that and started to focus on their own homes, their own houses, their own lives, and forgot to focus on God at all. And so 16 years on, God sends Haggai to remind His people that they need to have priorities in their lives. They need to focus on Him. They need to know that He needs to come first. And then they can work on their own hands as well, but they need to place Him first. And so that message comes to them on the first day of the month. And now we read in verse 12 that it's, or later on, that it's now the 23rd day, or the 24th day. So 23 days later, this happens. 23 days of anticipation of what's going to happen, of how's God's people going to obey what He has said to them. In the first sermon, which we broke down into two messages, Haggai told God's people a couple of things. He said, first of all, in the first sermon that I did, that you need to look at the excuses you come up with and drop the buts in life. And secondly, you need to know that God needs to come first. And the second part of the message was this: look at your lives, consider how you live. Know that your life and your actions, that they have consequences. And if you need to change things, then actually go out and do it. And that was the content of the message to God's people. And now we find this change of heart. We find God's people actually obeying what He said. Verse 12 says, "Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak," remember all those great Australian names, "and also the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God." And in verse 14, once again it says, "And they came and they began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God." This is what God wanted them to do, and now they're actually doing it. Changed lives. Rejoicing in heaven. I think we can just all be longing for that moment as well. And maybe we've gone through this before, and maybe it's something we long for again. But can you actually imagine heaven's rejoicing, the angels rejoicing because of the changes that you are making? If you are doing the things that God wants you to do, there's a party in heaven. That is how God feels about us, obeying Him and doing what He wants. Now, for that to happen, we actually see a great explanation in this part of the message. Only in four verses, four things we need to take note of today. So keep your Bibles open and we'll look at those four things that actually happen here and that we can take note of as well. So this is the first thing that happens. It says in verse 12, they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai. The voice of the Lord and the message of the prophet is nothing else than God's word. It's God's communication, God's connection with the people. See, God also spoke through Haggai and told Haggai what to say to the people. So everything they heard, everything they are hearing is all God's word. God's word changes lives. When we truly hear God's word, it has an impact in your life. In fact, if you truly hear God's word, nothing can change or stay the same. You make a choice either to obey what God wants or you make a choice not to obey. But God's word moves us to change. The people here, it says in the Hebrew, truly listened to God's word. And there's a specific word for that. And I think we get the meaning in English as well, because if we have kids or if you're a teacher, you know exactly what the difference is between hearing something and truly listening to something. We all know that in our kids as well. So often they hear what we say, but they're not listening to what we're saying to them. And maybe we do the same thing every now and then. And I guess that's the difference we need to understand today as well. Are we only but hearing God's word, or are we really listening to God's word? It says here that the people listened to God's word, which meant that it cut deep in their hearts. It made them change. It touched them on the inside. And that's something I think we all need to consider. When you open God's word, when you read the Bible, are they but mere words that you are hearing? Or are you truly listening to what God is saying? Because whenever you open God's word, you need to pray and ask God to touch your life and to reach out and to change you and to say to you the things that you need to hear. Otherwise, it won't make a difference at all. How are you listening to God's word? It does have an impact. In fact, I was reminded this morning that today actually is the 200th anniversary of the Bible Society in Australia. And what a great celebration we should all share in. It's been 200 years since the Bible has been brought to Australia and has been reproduced in English for us as well, different translations, and have been spread around this country. And if it wasn't for that work, how many people wouldn't have heard the gospel? God's word made a great impact in who we are as a country. God's word makes a great impact into our lives, but then we need to listen to what God is saying. So we find here there was a change in the reaction of God's people because they listened to the word of God first of all. And also something else then happened. So the second thing, if you continue on in verse 12, you'll see it says, just very briefly, and the people feared the Lord. What do we associate with fear of the Lord? I think so often we see this in a negative way and we think, oh, it's being scared of God. And in Christ, surely we shouldn't be scared of God at all. God is gracious. God is love. How should we be scared of Him? But this fear of the Lord is something different. Even Solomon says that great wisdom starts with fear of the Lord. And I think the fear of the Lord here means something else. It means that we shouldn't take God for granted. He's not someone that we need to control or wish to control. He's not someone we just reach out to when we want to. He's someone we acknowledge who He is. He's someone who, one of the commentators says, brings in us a holy awe. Fear of the Lord means respect for Him. Fear of the Lord means that we understand exactly who He is. And when we do that, surely we respect who we're dealing with. The Creator of heaven and earth. The great God who places everything in place by just the wave of His finger. The God who reigns over each one of us. He deals with your life in a sovereign way. He knows exactly what you are going through and what I'm going through and what all of us need. And He provides that out of grace. That's the great God we serve. And if we understand that, we stand in awe. We stand amazed before this God. And you can do nothing else but bow before Him. So it made me also think about what we would actually do if we come to encounter God. If we are to stand in front of Him, how would you react? Many of us might think of the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," and we might want to greet Him as a friend. "Hey, how are you?" Some of us might want to embrace Him as a father figure. But some of us might also understand, and some part of us need to understand as well, that there's some amazement and awe and respect that we should have as well. And it reminded me of what John, the Apostle John, did when he saw Christ in the beginning of Revelation, what he did. It says he fell to the ground and just laid there like a dead person. He couldn't move. And that was out of respect of the person he was meeting. See, some of that needs to live in our hearts as well. We need to have that awe for God. When we hear Him speak, when we truly listen to His Word, and we know who is speaking, something's going to change in your life. But this goes on. The third of the four things I need you to understand today comes out in verse 13. Because then Haggai, once again, the Lord's messenger, so this message comes from the Lord again, gave this message of the Lord to the people. "I am with you," declares the Lord. Now, isn't that a great encouragement as well? They've just heard, or they've just been said here that they feared the Lord. They had this respect for Him. But the very next thing God says is, "I, this great God, I am with you. I'm in your presence. I'm there to encourage you. I'm there to support you. I am with you." In some ways, it's the restoration of what was before the fall in sin. Just if you place your minds back in the Garden of Eden, where it says Adam and Eve were wandering with God in the garden, and He was with them in the evening wind. God was in their presence, and everything was just fulfillment of God's blessing. And that's what God is saying once again. "I am with you." You know, when Christ came, He became Emmanuel, God with us. And even He then made the promise to His disciples before He left. He said to them, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And when the Holy Spirit came, He came to be with us. And not just be in our presence, but actually live in us. God is with us. So once again, this brings change in our lives if we listen to God's Word and we know who's speaking. But we also know this wonderful fact and encouragement of God saying, "I'm with you." And that certainly does something to you. And verse 13 describes this. What that does, it says, "The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people." God stirred them up. God, who was with them, was starting to work within them. One of the thesauruses describing this word "stirred" said, "Stirring up means," the word "stirring" means to wake up a sleepy person so that they're alert and ready for action. That is what God was doing, stirring them up. If you're someone who likes cooking, perhaps, you know that what it means to stir a pot. You keep it moving. You have all the things move inside the stew. And that's what God is doing with us. If He stirs you, He is moving your insides. You just feel that. that God is working within you. Have you ever felt that? Maybe perhaps when you've read something in the Bible and you could just feel God's presence stirring in you. Or perhaps when you dealt with a certain situation, or when you came across someone, or something just happened in life and you just felt that stirring within you. So that is what happens when God works within you. Four things today. Listen to God's word. Have fear, a holy fear for the Lord. Respect Him. Be encouraged by the fact that He is with us. And have the Holy Spirit work that stirring within you. See, if we take note of these four things, we should all have this anticipation of something is going to happen. Something will be happening in our lives. It might be something great in your life. It might be changes that you need to make. It might be the encouragement for you to continue in what you're doing. But it can only lead to growth. If you have God's word, if you respect God, and if you know that He is with you and He stirs your insight, then growth is imminent and inevitable and will happen in your life. And may we all pray for that this year. Please join with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You for Your word. Lord, only a few hundred years ago, we didn't even have Your word in English. Now we have it in many translations. Now we have so many copies that we have it on our phones and our computers and our tablets and physical books next to our bedsides, Lord God. But we need to know that in Your word, we need to hear Your voice speaking to us. We need to truly listen to what You are saying to us. And we do that when we understand who's speaking. So, Lord, we pray that You'll work in us an awe of who You are. Thank You, God, for encouraging us with the words that You are with us. And once again today, as we also have the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of what You did for us. The fact that You came to us to live among us, to be incarnate, to be the Word with us, so that we might have true life with You, eternal life with You. Father God, I pray that Your Spirit will stir our hearts, and that as we also share this meal today, that You will, as we are reminded of what You did, we will also ask ourselves the question of how we can grow and how we can serve You more. So I pray, Lord, that You do this today in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.